No one that really wants their business to succeed and grow, no one has any trouble reaching out to someone that they have some sort of a connection with and saying, hey, would you like to help me? I could really use the help.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 130 with Unstoppable Coach Mallett Jones.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Hope you're having a great week. I'm your host, JC Preston, and in this session, I'm joined by Amplify founder, Harrison Painter. If this is the first time you're listening in, this is the show where we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you find and execute your own personal mission and live a lifestyle that's proud of. This session is for those folks who are more the do-it-yourself types who want to get their names out there as thought leaders. In a world of do-it-yourself hardware stores, there's all kinds of help you can get. In the last few years, I found out that not only are these places for the DIY folks themselves, but you know, some big box stores also have teams who do the work for you, like roofing, for example. You know, that's great if you don't have the capabilities to do the job. And I know when I got my house recently roofed, I know I didn't. You know, I wasn't going to be able to do all the work myself. But if the project is something small enough where you believe you can handle it on your own, then you might choose to do it yourself. And perhaps, you know, you have an idea of how you might be able to do it, but you need a little bit more advice on how to do it just right. In the case of today's guest, Mallett Jones, she's taken that can-do attitude to publicity on the web. And what's great is that she helps empower others to do the same. You can think of her as the owner of the local hardware store. She's not going to do the work for you, but she can make sure you do it right. So in this particular conversation, we talk more about how you can rise above the crowd when it comes to getting your name out there, how to stay focused as an entrepreneur, how a guest can best prepare themselves for being a guest on a podcast, and much, much more. But before we get to that, I want to remind you guys about Millennial Skills. And speaking of DIY, one of the reasons that chatbots are picking up steam is because you don't have to hire someone to just man your business messages on Facebook. They also double as a marketing assistant. And if you're not familiar with the term chatbot, it's basically an assistant program that will allow you to easily communicate with multiple people through Facebook Messenger. And you simply set up a series of messages. And based on how the recipient responds to those messages, they can sort themselves in or out of your sales funnel. You might be wondering what makes this different than other typical autoresponders. Well, you know, it's simply the fact that chatbots have a much higher response rate. I mean, which would you sooner respond to, an email or a message in Messenger? And if this is a subject that you'd want to learn more about, join past guest Hector Santiesteban in his regular trainings. You can do just that by visiting newinceptions.com/Facebook chatbot. And through that, you'll be taken to the Millennial Skills bot and start to get an idea of what chatbots are all about and how powerful they really are. So again, that's newinceptions.com/Facebook chatbot. So don't forget to subscribe to the show on CastBox, iTunes, or your favorite podcasting app. If you are listening on iTunes, I'd love for you to leave a review and comment as that helps get the show out to other people. And I'll in return give you a shout out in a future session. As usual, show notes and show note extras of this conversation can be found at newinceptions.com/130. And I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm JC Preston, your host, and with me today is Harrison Painter, founder of Amplify Indie. Harrison, what's going on in your world, buddy? How you doing?
Life is good, man. We got our big event coming up on Wednesday.
next Wednesday. So we're excited about that. Another sold out event. India's awesome, man.
Yeah,
India's
awesome. A lot of cool things that we got going on. Speaking of the actual events, we've been doing that for several months at this point. How do you feel the community is receiving those?
Very well. You know, we designed them around the fact that most networking events that we have been going to over the last few years have been nothing more than me festivals, right? Business card and faces, very self-serving, very scarcity mindset. So we decided to kind of flip the script on that and do something much different. So really, instead of just a business networking event, we've created something that celebrates community, culture, and commerce. So we're bringing together the business community with the cause-driven community, as well as the community that we serve, all under an event that showcases music, art, causes, and a keynote speaker to create value. So It's been well received so far. Like I said, we've had, this is our fourth sold out event, and it just keeps growing stronger. The abundance mindset is in full force.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the cool things is just how much the, I guess you could say, the Amplify citizens back up each other. And the fact that, you know, when we were, Angel Jones was coming through town, within a matter of hours, you know, you were able to put together a list of, with Suzanne Schaefer, what, 30 some people. And
yeah, we still hold the record with him. It was 33 podcast conversations in 9 hours.
Yeah, that is crazy. And you were able to, again, put that together in just overnight. Really? So that's,
yeah, you called me up, I think it was 7 o'clock on Thursday night, because you had the confirmation from Angel. Mm-hmm. And literally I just started sending out the emails. Nobody really knew what was going on or what it was, but you know, it shows the momentum that we have going as a community, because 33 people stepped up and just made it an incredible experience, not only for Angel, but for us and for the speakeasy where we did it and everything else. It was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely an awesome experience. And I kind of wish that, I kind of hope that Dallas is able to beat us. I don't know if he's actually gotten through there, because it'd be kind of cool to see that, you know, another community is tied so close together as we are. But at the same time, you know, it's like, no, I want to have the bragging rights. So
yeah, you know what though, a year ago, 2 years ago, I'd absolutely be fighting for that title. But no, I mean, I hope a handful of cities beat us. You know, I hope he gets his conversations. More people need to hear these conversations. More people need to be exposed to it. Mm-hmm. And I think what he's doing is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing that, you know, I would say that the Amplify events is, they also, you know, they introduce different thought leaders to each other that wouldn't have interacted, you know, like you were saying, a year ago for you, you had been competing. And a lot of those guys that, you know, the people that are part of our citizenship, they would be competing as well. And in fact, I'd also say that, you know, maybe many of the Amplify citizens that have not only used the events as networking opportunities, you know, they build their already existing business in, but there are many folks that I think that are in the group who might not have had the courage to really step out in their comfort zone in the first place. And being a part of this community is something that really empowers them.
Well, absolutely. I think, you've got a lot of people that are trying to make a living becoming a speaker. A lot of people that I would assume our guest today probably works with, mm-hmm. you know, folks that are really on the cusp of becoming a good speaker on stage, becoming that better entrepreneur. You know, their company is starting to grow and they need to take it somewhere. And we're offering a safe environment for them to come into and hone their craft. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, not only hone their craft, but be a showcase where now they're in front of some of these companies that could hire them, see their speeches and all that, and do it in an abundance-filled environment. It's just so powerful to see it happen.
Yeah, yeah, it's truly incredible. And speaking of our guest, that's right. She does have a awesome business that empowers others to do just as we were talking about, you know, embrace their expertise and their field. And through her work as a coach, a speaker, and host of the Unstoppable Coach podcast, she guides entrepreneurs to be recognized as experts in their field and steadily grow their business by telling their unique story on podcasts. Today, we're joined by Millette Jones. Thanks for being on the show with us today, Millette. How you doing?
Doing great, JC. Thank you guys both for having me.
Yeah, again, it's a conversation I've been looking forward to having, and you know, you're doing really awesome works. But before we get into what I imagine, again, is going to be a highly impactful conversation, I'm curious as to how you got started as a coach. I mean, what's your background? How did you get into coaching? Why coaching? All that kind of stuff.
Well, the interesting thing is I started out in retail, and I never really liked what I was doing, but I never really knew what it was I wanted to get into. So I dabbled. And through the dabbling, I failed a lot. So I went through writing a travel guide, and I went through working with a website that was geared towards people traveling. And then that didn't work out either. So then I shifted into a personal development blog. And I had a partner, and we were getting things going. She started coaching, and then we started to figure out that she paid a lot of money for this coaching, but no one really told her how to build a business. That was sort of the beginnings of it, is we started doing a lot of research on how coaches built up their business. And unfortunately, she decided that entrepreneurship wasn't really for her, so she stepped away from the business. And then I kind of transitioned over to what part of what I'm doing now, which is the Unstoppable Coach podcast. And in that, I interview coaches from all different industries, all different niches, and we just sort of go through how they built their business, tips and tricks, what's working, what's not, and just really getting information out there to help other coaches learn the stuff that really works.
Cool. Are you doing your business full time then, or are you still part time, or what's going on?
I do the business part time. I do have a side hustle. I'm an online English teacher, part time.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
And then I also do my podcast, and then I also do the coaching, and I just started up a membership site as well. So kind of got a lot of little things going.
Cool. So you're right in there and getting to know and experience the stuff that you're helping people with, because that's kind of like, you know, what you're having to go through right now. In fact, you sent me an email wanting to, you know, to get on this show, and I was like, I like what she's doing. So that was pretty cool. When did you actually know it was time to draw a line in the sand and say, I'm tired of this 9-to-5 retail grind? What was that like?
Well, it sort of got drawn for me. I took a little bit of time off. I had a family member that went through a family, like did the family medical leave for a little while. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, the whole kind of company culture had shifted a little bit. And I started catching wind that there was going to be some layoffs. And sure enough, just about everybody that was full-time got laid off, and the company went to just part-time workers. So I decided not to do the part-time thing and just went ahead and jumped into internet marketing. And I started out in internet marketing doing, you know, little Amazon review sites and, you know, kind of got my feet wet with that and built up a pretty good business, and then got hit with a Google update and learned a big lesson.
The Google update. Yes.
Exactly. So, you know, everything that's been kind of my life for the last 7 years is just trying things, or really more like 10 or 15, trying things, failing, trying again, you know, tweaking, finding something new, finding something that works better. And just, I just feel like I'm shifting, you know, all the time, but it never gets dull. And I just absolutely love being an entrepreneur and being able to have the control over my life to make those little shifts and to try different things.
And what's really cool is that, you know, you have all those years of experience. And I would be the first to say that people that fail the most are usually the people that you can learn the most from. So I'm sure that's, you know, paying off dividends and helping people out, because, you know, someone that's just made it right from the get-go, it's like, can you really teach anybody else anything?
Right.
So that's cool. So when you're actually talking about experts, you know, there's multiple ways that, you know, someone can become an expert in other people's eyes. You know, they can write a book, they can make a course, you know, we were talking about a membership website, they can create a series on YouTube, you know, all kinds of different things. And, you know, for me, podcasting was a thing that really made an influence on me early on. For example, I mean, Pat Flynn, I talk about him all the time. And the reason why is because, you know, when I first got into online business, you know, he was the one that was exposing me to all the different types and all the different kinds. And, you know, when he started his podcast in 2010, I really was exposed to podcasting as a medium. And then, you know, that allowed him to get onto other shows. And then, you know, I'm sure led to his increased growth as an influencer. And, you know, I've met other people in the online entrepreneur space that were part of his extended community, including Veronica, who's a co-host, and, you know, many of my past guests on the show. And what really was the first podcast you heard, and how were you exposed to the world of podcasting?
It's so funny that you say Pat Flynn, because when I was in retail, I was a merchandiser, and I was responsible for all of, like, Middle and East Tennessee. So I would drive to Knoxville twice a week, and the first podcast that I started downloading was the Smart Passive Income podcast. And I would listen to that driving to and from Knoxville. And that was really the first thing that just told me there are people out there who are doing exactly what they want. And mm-hmm. I was just consuming so much of it at that time that it was really cool. I'm glad that somebody else has those roots based in that, yeah, you know, in that podcast, because that was a big motivator for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've been part of the podcasting world for a long time, right? I mean, I even did those live shows on YouTube back in 2006 when YouTube was brand new. I mean, it's hard to believe that 2005 is when YouTube was launched, right? Then we did them on Ustream. So we want to talk a little bit about, it's a strategy I've used quite a bit, but using your story to be relatable, right? How you gain mm-hmm. trust, how you rise above the crowd, how you do all these different things, how you position yourself and your guests together in these podcasts and how you leverage that. You know, for me, it was for credibility. So I ran out and got guys like Gary Vaynerchuk and Bob Berg and these folks to interview, not only because I admired them, but because I know publicly it rose my stock, right? And created that kind of peer mentality or perception with the crowd. So what are some of the things that you do along those lines?
I think for me, a lot of it is just, you know, going back to what you said, being relatable. So I try to tell a lot of stories. So, you know, I just mentioned that, you know, I used to drive back and forth to Knoxville. So anybody that's out there who has one of those jobs where they're on the road, they instantly relate to me and it makes sense. And then, you know, I also just told a story about how I tried a lot of different things and failed. So anybody that has been in that position of failing, but maybe not thinking that they want to pick themselves up and do it again, well, they just heard that I went through 5 or 6 different iterations of things and failed at every darn one of them. So that automatically makes me more relatable and kind of increases that know, like, and trust factor right off the bat.
Yeah, we need to rewire people's brains, right? It's not failure. It's you learn. You're learning. But, you know, we've been so put down in society, right? Even through the education system mm-hmm. and through our current work system, that failure is this horrible thing, and it's not a learning opportunity that it really is. And we just need to rewire people's brains to understand that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and we can actually relate quite a bit in the fact that we're just now taking that exam, Harrison, that, you know, it's something that we're having to study for, and more. But I'll talk about more about this in the blog upcoming. But, you know, even state exams that are, you know, standardized, it's just like, how can you do something, you know, prepare something for that kind of a field that's going to take so much entrepreneurial skills, but at the same time, you're just covering the base things that you need to know for someone to be, I guess, you know, just in line with the rules of,
well,
of the
industry.
Well,
and even that, think about it. You know? How much more do you actually know now than before, right?
Oh.
The way the current tests are set up is just memorization.
Right.
As long as I can memorize, I can pass,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's the key. I can pass. What's yeah. that bare minimum?
And that's what I'm saying is that how does that actually apply to real life? I mean, memorization, and that's what I think you were going with the talking about education, is that as long as you can memorize, you can pass. As long as you can memorize, you can get along. You know, that conveys a bad, really, message to saying that, you know, as long as you can memorize, you can pass your life, you know, or you can go through life without any issues. That's not how it works.
I know Millette will agree with me here, right? There's no memorizing how to read a human. There's no memorizing how to run a startup company. There's no memorizing of how to disrupt a certain industry that you're trying to create change in. I mean, it just doesn't exist. The only way to do it is through A, trial and error, and B, mentoring and coaching. That's really your two paths.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that one. And that's interesting because when, you know, you guys are talking about, you know, taking a test, getting a certification, I just started doing this online ESL coaching not too long ago. I'm not a teacher by trade. So I had to learn how to teach little kids, and this was not something that I was wired up for, really. But there were aspects of it that I really thought would help me in my business, mainly because it was online and I'm on video. I'm a huge introvert, and video is something that I just haven't jumped into. So doing this ESL online teaching, it's forcing me to get myself on video every day with different people, and it's helping me in my business.
Love it. It builds confidence. Yes, it helps. Again, it goes back to the failure, right? That I'm sure the very first video you ever did, I always say, probably sucked. Right? I mean, the very first video you do is probably pretty bad, right? And then every video thereafter gets a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better. And then before you know it, you kind of go on autopilot, no different than the interview, right? It's a talent. It's a skill. And a lot of people, I don't think, realize that. They just need to overcome that initial fear. And then once you do that, I mean, this is a blast, right? I mean, you get to connect with people on such a different level, whether it's interview for a podcast, a live interview, or, you know, through video. And nothing builds trust faster than video. Nothing. So let's talk a little bit about, as an entrepreneur, as someone who embraces failure to learn, as someone leaving the grind, what are some tips that you have to stay focused when you're in the middle of all that chaos?
Well, I tell you what, the best thing, in my opinion, is just to really get clear on what it is that you're trying to achieve. Because I went through, you know, I talked a little bit about it, that period of time where my business partner decided that she wasn't interested in being an entrepreneur anymore. We had put about a year and a half of work into building up this personal development blog, you know, getting published, starting to get on podcasts, you know, really starting to get going. And then all of a sudden, half of the business just went away. And I was kind of faced with that big question of, is this really me, or was this the two of us? And, you know, just having to get over, you know, the loss of that business relationship, which, you know, is still a loss for a lot of people. I mean, for me, it was, you know, I thought we were in it together. And then all of a sudden, you know, that shifted dramatically overnight almost. So that was a huge amount of chaos for me. And what I ended up having to do was just take a big step back, take a little bit of time off, and then make a decision that personal development blog wasn't completely my passion. It was a lot of her passion. So that's when I made that shift to, I've been thinking about podcasting for a long time and never made the leap. Now's the time to make the leap. Mm-hmm. And just getting super clear on what it is that I really wanted, that helped me to kind of keep that focus narrowed in and not just go, you know, off the rails with all the other crazy stuff that was going on in my life at that point.
Are you, was that a bad breakup, or are you a little bit more understanding of how that went now in retrospect?
In retrospect, it's like I can accept that everybody has to make their own decisions for what's best for them. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it was 18 months of hard work and hustle, and then it was a real quick, this isn't for me. You know, and I know that she had struggled with it for a while, but it felt like it was, you know, wake up one morning and all of a sudden, you know, half the business is gone. So in the moment, it was hard.
Well, I'm guessing that maybe during that time, you were thinking even if she was having issues that maybe, you know, she would eventually get it, and that, you know, it'd be like, oh, you know, work it together with no problems in the future. So, yeah, you know, it happens to the best of us, I'm sure. Here's a question for you, and you just kind of brought up to my mind, especially when it comes to relationships. When people are getting the word out, maybe about a product or a service, and, you know, something that's brand new, maybe they've been guests on podcasts, maybe they haven't, but, you know, if they have been on guests on, you know, maybe they don't want to reach out to people specifically because, you know, they haven't talked to someone forever, or, you know, maybe they just don't want to come across as being needy. Maybe, you know, they kind of have an expectation that they're supposed to be this person that's actually somewhat made it, and they don't want to be like, I need to rely on these people to help me get my word out. You know, how might someone, you know, overcome certain limiting beliefs like this when it comes to dealing with broken, quote unquote, business relationships?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, one thing that I have learned just from being really like in the last year or so, really when I started up my podcast, I've tried to keep in touch with most of my previous guests one way or the other. I mean, obviously there's some that we just didn't connect, but a lot more that I've managed to at least follow on social media. And I tell you what, a lot of these folks will reach out to me when, you know, they've got a book coming out or when they have a course coming out. I've had people reach out and say, hey, would you like to be an affiliate? Or, hey, my book is coming out, would you mind reviewing it? You know, all sorts of different things. And a lot of these people are, you know, maybe 4 or 5 years in to their coaching business. Others are, you know, pretty well established. And one thing that I've learned is no one that really wants their business to succeed and grow, no one has any trouble reaching out to someone that they have some sort of a connection with and saying, hey, would you like to help me? I could, you know, I could really use the help. Mm-hmm. I pretty much will help anybody that reaches out to me and wants me to help them. I try to do it because it's just like, you know, if you want it bad enough, you have to take that step.
Mm-hmm. And let's, you know, and it's a very different perspective from, like, you know, a beginner and thinking back to the time when, you know, you were listening to Pat driving those miles and you're like, okay, I feel like an expert. I feel like I can help people change their lives for the better. And I want to become a public figure in that space. And, you know, thing is that a lot of times those people, like you, were probably resource strapped. So when it comes to actually, you know, gaining authority as a guest expert on podcasts, you know, what's the first step? Do you kind of make that first product first for a handful of people, then go out being a guest on shows? Or is this another combination? Because I imagine that, you know, it's kind of hard to generate leads as a guest expert if you don't have, you know, that much a body of work to show that you know what you actually know.
Well, one thing that I can tell everybody, if they're feeling like they just don't have enough expertise yet in whatever their business is, you're always an expert on your own life. So there's tons of personal development, self-help type podcasts that just love to hear a good story. So everybody has stories. Everybody has something that they can share with an audience that will help them. Now, it may not be specifically in their business if they're just getting started, but they can certainly, you know, reach out to a more personal development style podcast, and it wouldn't be very hard because you're an expert on yourself.
Cool. And I'm also kind of curious. I mean, one of the things that I'm really interested to hear is the different ways that, you know, in true do-it-yourself fashion, because I know this is what you help people with. What are some ideas that you could give the audience to, you know, help them generate leads as far as developing guest expert, like, appearances on podcasts?
Well, if you're really just getting started and you're sort of in the beginning stages of your business, go ahead and reach out to a few of those personal development blogs, or rather podcasts. Try to land a couple of interviews. Once you do that, then you're going to have a few interviews that you can point to and say, hey, here's some examples of my speaking. Here's what I can do. So once you maybe have a couple of those, you don't necessarily need it, but it would be a good thing. So once you have that, and then you can move on and try to get in, check out the New and Noteworthy on iTunes. The people who are just starting their podcast may have a little bit more space on that calendar. They're not going to be the big names that everybody's going after. Don't be afraid of going after some of the little small niche podcasts. You might have a lot better opportunity. Also, look for podcasts that put their content out 7 days a week, because for a long time, I did a 5 day a week podcast. I needed to interview 20 coaches a month. So unless the person was just terrible, a lot of times they were going to get on my podcast, especially if I was really strapped and I really needed some guests. So look for those podcasts that really release a lot of content. And that's also a really good tip for someone to kind of squeak in if you're just wanting to start to build that confidence up.
I feel you on that one. I did a live Ustream, if anybody here, I'm aging myself, but remembers Ustream, a live Ustream show, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week. It was crazy, right? But we were the first social media show on Ustream Mobile's app, like, to be featured. So the pressure was really on, right? And it's almost like, you're right, 2 hours, 5 days a week. Look, that guy looks like an entrepreneur. No, I think he's homeless. Well, you know what? He's at the corner with a cup. That's a startup, right? So, I mean, it's just the pressure that you're under to do that. So, I think the other thing that you touched on that a lot of younger folks might not realize is people aren't going to come to you. You have to go to them, right? You're the one that's going to have to seek them out. I know we're in this culture where we all think we're Kim Kardashian and everybody's coming after us, but you have to aggressively hit up these hosts and pitch yourself. And I know a lot of young folks don't do that.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of things that you can do. I mean, there's a couple of different little sites like Radio Guest List. You can pay a kind of a small fee and get a listing on that. And then newer podcast hosts. I know when I first started, that's one place that I went when I was a brand new podcast host to find some of the coaches, was a place called Radio Guest List. And people would put their bios up, and I found quite a few coaches from there to interview. So that's always a good place to start if someone's a little bit worried about reaching out. You can put your bio up on a couple of these different places like that, and then, you know, have some people come to you. And that would be a great way to also get those first couple of interviews that you could then turn around and start pitching to a little bit larger podcast host.
And let's give some tips for this too, for people, because I know this isn't out there enough. How can a guest best prepare themselves to be on a podcast? We talk a lot about host and the preparation that goes on our side, but a guest should be prepared as well. So can you share some tips on that front?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that a couple of things that I really like, and this is something that I tell everybody that I coach, is to record yourself. You know, I've had a couple of times when I've been recording, when I've been a podcast host, that the guest's audio just sounded terrible. And I ended up not being able to use the interview at all. But if that person had recorded themselves, I would have had a nice clean copy and we could have kept, you know, we could have saved it. So I always tell people to record themselves in one of the free programs like Audacity. And that's just a nice little benefit to the podcast host. I think it shows that you care and that you're taking it seriously and you're willing to help. Another idea is get a good microphone. It doesn't have to cost $300. I got the microphone that I'm using right now. I got off eBay for $40. It was about a $100 mic. I paid $40 for it. It's been working perfectly, so I haven't felt the need to replace it. So get yourself a nice little microphone and get in a nice quiet room. I have all my dogs out in the yard. They're mad and it's raining, but I don't care. I'm gonna have a nice clean recording. So keep it quiet, get the kids out of the house, you know, get your spouse out of the house, get the pets locked away and get a nice quiet recording. You're going to come across much more like a professional if you have a good crisp recording.
Those are great tips. You know, right now I'm using the old Samson USB mic, I think it's called the CO1U or whatever. It was the very first mic I ever bought. Like, I still have it and I still use it to this day. And I think at the time it was $100, less than $100. And I've got a ton of mics since then. I still come back to this one.
Yeah.
So you're right. I think a lot of people think they have to spend a fortune, and you just don't today to sound good.
No. And this was, I mean, I've got the ATR 2100. I think it sounds great. I've actually talked to some people with just lesser expensive mics, and I think, you know, you could even get by with less if you wanted to. But record yourself, download one of these free programs, Audacity, learn a little bit about how to use it, record yourself on your mic, and then listen to it. Make sure you sound good before you just hop on a podcast with untested equipment.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times that, you know, I've had to test things with people that are rarely on podcasts that, you know, it's just like, okay, you kind of expect more from people that seem to be more experienced. And yet it was just like, okay, we're going to have to spend about 20 minutes just getting you ready for the show. Whereas with us, it was just like, when you hopped on, you're like, I'm recording myself and I'm ready to go. And I'm like, thank you. That's awesome.
Well, you know, you have to take everything with a grain of salt too. And I told another podcast host that I was recording myself, and she got quiet and she said, well, that's against my terms of service. And I was like, I'm just doing it to help you out. Don't worry about it. I won't. But I don't want you to publish me if I sound bad. Mm-hmm. So if I sound bad, we're just going to scrap the interview. You know, I don't want it put out there if it doesn't sound good. And she was like, oh, okay. Well, if that's the only reason, I'm like, what is this, international espionage? I'm just trying to help out here. So you just never know. You never know. But I say, come prepared, get a great recording, and everybody will be happy.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about you, your process. So when you work with someone, say it's, you know, I just hired you. What does that process look like working with you?
I really just like to get to know what it is that the person wants out of being a podcast guest. Do you want to build your email list? Do you want to get clients? Do you just want to build up that expert status? Or is it kind of a combination of all of it? You know, a lot of people just want to be able to, you know, have some of those little logos to put on their website. They want to, you know, start to build up that authority proof. And it really just depends on what the goals are. That's kind of the first step, is to see where people want to go with it. And then beyond that, it's kind of just working with the person to help them get a feel for what kind of stories they want to share. You know, what is it that's going to connect with different audiences and really make them relatable, help people to, you know, build that trust in them, and then really get people to like them so they want to come back and kind of continue that relationship after that podcast interview is over. That's really the main goal for most people, is how to get, you know, how to leverage that podcaster's audience so you're providing tons of value, but then at the end, those people want to know you. They want to know more about you, and they come back to your website, jump on your list, get your freebies, and continue that relationship.
All right. So the coaching side we know is not typically scalable. So let's talk about your future, where you see yourself headed in the next few years. You touched on the fact that you're doing a membership site and that. Where do you see yourself headed here in the next couple of years?
Honestly, I'm kind of feeling like I want a little bit of a shift away from online, or at least that online space where it's starting to feel kind of crowded with lots and lots of coaches. And I'm wanting to shift a little bit more into the local area or into consulting.
Very smart. Very smart. Yes. Well, I mean, Amplify Indy really is taking Facebook and bringing it to real life. You know, we fight so hard to try to be these credible experts, the World Wide Web, globally, Harrison International, when there's so much money in your own backyard and there's so many people that aren't connected. You know, that there was a point in time when I was so deep in this world that to me, you know, I'm talking with guys like Gary Vaynerchuk and Bob Berg and these folks, and I kind of take it for granted. And then I go out in public and I said, hey, you know who Gary Vaynerchuk is? No. You know who Bob Berg is? No. What? Right? So you've got this huge base out there that's just not as connected, but they need our help. They need our services. They need to grow their small local businesses. And there's just really nobody focused on that other than maybe a couple of, you know, these mom and pop shops that they don't really know what they're doing. But the people with the real talent now need to come offline. So I think that's a super smart strategy to take. And it's absolutely what I've been working on as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I started following a couple different people and just looking at this, the whole idea of, you know, trading the time for money and, you know, selling your course and, you know, how much can you honestly charge for a course? I know that even the highest price courses are just a couple of thousand dollars, you know, something like that. And, you know, memberships, generally you don't get much more than, you know, $100, $150 a month on some of the, you know, the decent memberships that you see out there. And that sort of stuff, you could, you know, it just seems like when you go into that corporate environment or when you take it offline and you're talking to business owners or, you know, corporations, there's a lot more out there than people who are just willing to pay $100 for a course or mm-hmm. wanting to spend $30 on a membership every month. You know, it's like you're just limited.
You're engaging people at a completely different level.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the local people will appreciate you more too. They really will, because you'll have a much stronger bond and you're going to be more vested in those folks as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know that people really like this whole concept of saying, you know, oh, I coach people globally. I coach someone from Italy. I'm coaching somebody from Australia. Well, I mean, that would be cool. And I'm anybody from Australia or Italy, feel free, you know, get in touch with me. I'm happy to coach you. But there's something about being able to sit down for coffee with people and being able to get face to face with folks. You know, there's something cool about it being that tangible.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that, you know, as I've, you know, moved away from being online and producing the show on a weekly basis, that I've just got a lot more fulfillment by working with Harrison and doing things locally. So yeah, hit the nail on the head. So, getting into the rapid fire questions, instead of asking who your the most three influential people are, because you're a podcaster, I'm going to ask you, what are your three favorite influential podcasts that have kind of helped you shape who you are as a podcaster?
Well, I've obviously got to go with Pat Flynn. That was the first podcast I ever listened to. So Smart Passive Income. There's some folks out of Kentucky that I absolutely love, the Flip Lifestyle podcast.
I forget. What was their name?
The Sams.
The Sams.
Shane and Jocelyn Sams. And, you know, that's, I still listen. That's one of the ones I still listen to. I still enjoy that one a lot. And, you know, I'm almost going to have to say, I'm not going to give you a third one because my third one, it really just changes. I listen to so many podcasts, just kind of like one episode here and one episode there. I find stuff that I love. And unfortunately, I just don't have a ton of time to listen to a whole lot of podcasts. So I do like to dabble and just try different ones. So I would say I still pretty consistently will listen to something from Pat Flynn and the Flip Lifestyle. And then I like to dabble with the rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I even recently listened to a podcast series that was like only six episodes long. It was called the Gateway. It was called The Gateway. And it was about this gal that's actually in our space, thought leader space. Her name was Teal Swan. And she's actually, at least according to the podcast, I mean, she's could be thought of being a cult leader. And it was very interesting in how they did this investigative work to find out about her retreats and everything like this, and how they were comparing her to like someone like Tony Robbins. And it was really interesting to kind of have, you know, again, something that's in our niche space, but someone from the outside is looking into it and bringing it out to the masses. So
yeah, definitely. I love documentaries. So that's kind of like an audio documentary. I'll have to go and check that out.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right. So as an entrepreneur, we tend to say yes to everything, right? Or at least at the beginning you do. But as you've matured, what's something that you become very good at saying no to?
I have actually become really good at saying no to people who just want to pick my brain. It seems like everyone wants to be a podcaster these days. And while that's awesome, it also seems like everyone that knows I podcast want to, you know, hang out with me and have coffee and spend 3 hours learning what I charge a lot more than a coffee for. So I still try to be super helpful with, you know, friends of friends and people that know me and know that I podcast. I try to help people out as much as I can while still keeping those boundaries of I can help you for a few minutes, but we'll have to talk about what your next step will be if you're going to need more than 5 minutes of assistance.
That's so cool. Have you seen the show Alex Inc. yet, or heard about it?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's a network TV show that the guy that was in Scrubs, the main character.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar to Scrubs because he does voiceover work in it, but it's all about him having a startup running a podcast.
Okay.
And it was just what you're bringing up there kind of reminded me is like, oh, I think they kind of talked about that. Oh, yes, they did, because he was wanting to immediately say no to his wife about starting a podcast that she was going to be involved with. And speaking of podcasting, what's something that's going on right now that you think is going to affect podcasting or entrepreneurship in the future that you're excited about?
Oh, wow. You know, I think that one thing that I'm finding kind of interesting is this whole deal with, you know, Facebook losing so much money a couple of weeks ago, you know, the stocks dropping. And one thing that I'm seeing is almost like people shifting a little bit to where social media is more about social. And I think that's something that I'm trying to shift a little bit as well, is not doing as much businessy type stuff. But, you know, if you jump on my Instagram, you will see me at my parents' house and you'll see me, you know, eating homemade ice cream and all sorts of pictures of my dogs and just very few, you know, promotional things. I mean, I will definitely promote the podcast that I'm on, but beyond that, I try not to do a whole lot of just real, you know, pushy businessy type stuff. And I've seen a more engagement with my personal, you know, social type post than the more business stuff. And I think the business stuff kind of gets lost a little bit.
Well, you know, and I got to say that Harrison's a master at doing that. I mean, he's every time that, you know, we're out having a meeting or something like that, it's what he does on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, whenever he takes out his camera takes a picture, and I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. I'm not automatically there. So I give kudos to those people who are.
Mm.
Well, it's a way where you look, because my life is business, my business is life, everything is so intertwined. You know, my family is kind of integrated. I mean, everything is integrated with me. So I just document as I go, but the way that I do it is different from a lot of people because my focus is on amplifying others. So if I'm with you, Millette, and we're out having coffee, I'm going to shoot a photo and say, hey, I'm with you having coffee, talking about such and such. Now, that is a business promotion, but I'm spotlighting you, and I'm also showing that we're doing activities just like everybody else. So it's kind of a three-prong win when you present yourself like that. So I mean, I'm always humbled when people say I'm really good at it, but for me, it's just the way that I live my life and I document it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just good marketing along the way.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between documenting what you're doing and a lot of what I will see, which is, you know, I just made $10,000. Let me tell you how I did it in 2 weeks. You know, it's
the humble brag doesn't work.
Yeah,
that way.
A lot of that stuff, I think, is people are starting to get over it. And I love seeing people's business stuff as long as, like what you're saying, it's documenting. It's, hey, you know, I'm speaking here, you know, and they're posting pictures of the city. They're also posting pictures of, you know, their speaking engagement. And it's like they're weaving it all together. And that's, to me, that's a lot more approachable than just this, you know, in your face, hard sell type stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like Lewis Howes, right? I would say right now he's the master. You know, I was blessed to meet him years ago before he was anybody at actually a Bob Berg event in Orlando, and to watch him grow and what he's become, to me he's brilliant. I don't call that many people brilliant. He's brilliant.
Yeah, and he's done a lot of changes since then too, as you were saying. And you know, it brings up a point. It's like when I first started listening to him, he was the, you know, more of the LinkedIn / webinar guru. And now,
right.
I mean, you're right. I mean, he's all over Instagram as far as like just talking to people and engaging with people. And he's completely changed his focus of how he's engaging with people. And you're right. I mean, he's his conversations that he has on the podcast, on his podcast, it's like he's bringing the listener into the conversation, which is kind of what we're trying to do here, but that was more so than what he was doing in the past.
Well, and he's matured a lot. I mean, look, he's a heartthrob, good-looking athlete guy, right? So he could very easily make it about him and his ego and all those things, but to watch him mature as quickly as he has and why he knows how to play his role, he's just brilliant at spotlighting and asking the right questions and making those people on his show look and feel like VIPs. It's just, he's just brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, I don't know how he gets all those people that are out there in LA. I don't know if he flies them in or if they're just happening to be touring or what the deal is, but he's, you know, it's just amazing the people that he's been talking to. I mean, it's always good quality. So, Millette, before we head off, go into different directions, what does it mean to live in a life of abundance with you?
You know, for me, a lot of people really get into this, you know, entrepreneurial lifestyle to be able to travel and to be location independent and work remotely. And all of that is really cool. But I tell you what, for me, it's what I love about it. What is a life of abundance to me is being able to get up, go sit out on the back porch, have a cup of coffee, you know, enjoy the outdoors, you know, hang out with my rescue dogs. You know, I like to use my business so that I can do the things that I enjoy in my personal life.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Millette. People can find you on your website, MilletteJones.com. And as far as your social medias, where can people find you on there?
You know what? I've got everything on my website. And in fact, if people want to learn more about jumping on podcasts as a special guest, they can go to MilletteJones.com/AOL and they can grab a free checklist or a free mini course on how they can get started podcasting. and all my social media and everything just comes off of that one page.
Great. Well, thank you again so much for spending some time with us today. And again, you know, you're in the midst of doing this campaign yourself, and yeah, I'm sure that you can help. You know, you're not too far away removed from this material because you're practicing it yourself. You're a practitioner as opposed to a guru, right?
Exactly. Yeah, cool. Absolutely. That's cool. One thing that I love is just jumping in and getting on these podcasts on both sides of the mic. I love doing both of it. So.
All right. Well, thank you again so much, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
So there you have it, guys. Hope you enjoyed that chat with Millette. I wasn't expecting for the conversation to dip into the work that we're doing with Amplify, so I hope it's not the last time that Harrison and I are speaking with her. She might be on a future Amplify podcast episode. But that being said, we're currently starting to look for future leaders of the Amplify chapters, and she seems like she'd be a great fit. If you enjoyed that conversation with her, I have a few videos relating to what we spoke about today in the show notes. You can find them at newinceptions.com/130. I have a couple of previews of her podcast. One is with a guy by the name of Dan Locke, who's a TEDx speaker, and he was talking about how you can go ahead and sell high-ticket coaching packages. And the other is with Chris Gardner, who shares with us why specialization is a needed part of having success as a coach. I'll have both of the full interviews linked in the show notes as well. Also in our chat, Millette spoke of Shane and Jocelyn Sams of The Flipped Lifestyle. And since they have their own podcast, I wanted to share with you a cool video I found about recording a podcast in a car. It's really informative and really doesn't take anything more than a relatively new phone. Then after that, since Pat was an influence for both Millette and myself, I thought I'd put the first video of his new 2018 version of his podcast tutorial in the show notes as well. In it, he's specifically going over how to use hardware and software, and not a lot of hardware really, to get your podcast launched. So that's it for session 130. Thank you for spending a little bit of time with us today. We know you could have it listened to anyone else, but you listened to us, so I really, really appreciate that. In the next session coming up, I have a solo chat with a coach and podcaster by the name of Tanya Connor Green. We discuss all kinds of things, really, from how to better connect with your audience to creating sales funnels in 2018 and what she enjoys about being a coach. Until then, don't forget to check out the Millennial Skills Bot Training. Get started again today at newinceptions.com/Facebook chatbot. And that being said, thanks for joining Millette, Harrison, and me today. And until next session, dig in, have fun, and take care on whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.